stinging words that come out of our mouths when we deride our children for a mistake they made. Have you ever wondered why we have that tendency to scold or to fault find or to get angry for a mistake that our children made? Today, we discussed fault finding in our children and why we should never bring gloom upon them by pointing out their faults in a negative way. Hey there again, friends, and welcome back to the Present Truth Parents podcast. We are now entered season 2 of the podcast already. It's coming up on a year since the podcast first started, which is pretty crazy to me. I started it right at the beginning of COVID, and here we are. So, I just finished reading chapter 48 in Child Guidance, the child's reaction to fault finding. And all it took was me reading this tiny paragraph to inspire this entire episode. Recently, I was dealing with a circumstance that I had to address with someone else or with several people. And I was afraid of bringing up this issue because I was afraid of being scolded. And that fear completely took over. Like, I started thinking, what can I do to get out of having to address this situation? Yeah, like I said, I wanted to do anything to avoid bringing up this issue and getting in trouble. And when the time came for me to bring up this issue, I was immediately overcome by emotion. I mean, like, immediately. Yes, I am a highly emotional person by nature, but I believe that this reaction was and is caused by deeper, far-reaching roots that go back to my childhood. So let's quickly go over what examples of fault finding might be. So let's just say, as a child, you are struggling with a particular learning objective, and the teacher or adult keeps getting mad because you don't get it, or keeps getting impatient because you aren't doing it right or to their standards. So that repeatedly happening again and again will eventually stay in the child's mind. And they could potentially grow up to think that anything they do could be wrong or not the right way, or now I have to do things to get the approval of someone else. So that's one example. But then as an adult, another example could be, you know, you're starting a new job or a new position, whatever the case is, and there's a little bit of a learning curve, and you make a mistake or you do something that you thought would be right because, you know, as adults, we have to take the initiative and, you know, try to do something without always having to be told to do it. So that initiative is made, and then the person in charge ridicules you for the job that you've done and makes you feel like you don't know anything. Both of these examples are not encouraging to the child or the person, child, adult, person. And so now the person has to deal with recovering, I guess, from those experiences. I think it kind of goes without saying that any kind of act of impatience from an adult to a child or from a teenager to a parent, I think that just comes with the territory of sin. Then I also believe it comes with how those who raised you were and how they acted towards you as a child or how they act towards their children. Those things combined, I think, can lead somebody to react in an impatient way and fault find the child or the person that they're dealing with. So let me just go ahead and read that paragraph. So again, chapter 48, the child's reaction to fault finding. You have no right to bring a gloomy cloud over the happiness of your children by fault finding or severe censure for trifling mistakes. Actual wrong should be made to appear just as sinful as it is, and a firm, decided course should be pursued to prevent its recurrence. Yet, children should not be left in a hopeless state of mind, but with a degree of courage that they can improve and gain your confidence and approval. Children may wish to do right. They may purpose in their hearts to be obedient, but they need help and encouragement. So that paragraph, even though it's in this compilation, Child Guidance is a compilation. So that particular paragraph in chapter 48 was actually from Signs of the Times, April 10, 1844. So the audio might sound a little bit different now. I switched my recording location and I'm not as close to the microphone as I may have been in the first recording. So if the audio is a little bit different, that's why. But hopefully it doesn't take away from the content of the episode. But I just wanted to pop in and say that. All right, thanks. Some of these quotes I just found so valuable that I want to post them all over different rooms of my house, on the walls, on the mirrors, in the kitchen, on the refrigerator. So I someday would like to create some kind of home decor line that includes quotes from Ellen White's writings. And one of these statements I actually ended up did write it on my bathroom mirror with a washable mirror marker. And it's a good reminder for us every morning when we wake up and we start our day. Or when I'm brushing my teeth at night, I take a look over and I read it. So I'm going to read the whole paragraph that includes the part that I have written on the mirror that I mentioned a little while ago. So the last part is what I have written on the mirror, but I'm going to read the whole thing because I think the whole paragraph is really insightful. The paragraph is titled, Represent God's Character in Discipline. Be firm, be decided in carrying out Bible instruction, but be free from all passion. Bear in mind that when you become harsh and unreasonable before your little ones, you teach them to be the same. God requires you to educate your children, bringing into your discipline all the generalship of a wise teacher who is under the control of God. If the converting power of God is exercised in your home, you yourselves will be constant learners. You will represent the character of Christ, and your efforts in this direction will please God. Never neglect the work that should be done for the younger members of the Lord's family. And this is the part that I have written on our mirror. You are, parents, the light of your home. Then let your light shine forth in pleasant words, in soothing tones of the voice. Take all the sting out of them by prayer to God for self-control, and angels will be in your home, for they will observe your light. The discipline you give your children will go forth in strong, clear currents from your correctly managed home to the world. That's from Child Guidance, page 240. So what I'm going to be reading now are different paragraphs that I have collected throughout the previous chapters, so before chapter 48, that have to do with the same idea of how we react to our children, how we talk to them, and how that all ties into fault finding and scolding and those kinds of things. So I read this, page 216, again, Child Guidance, teach by precept and example. Quote here, be careful that you are not rude to your children. Require obedience, and do not allow yourself to speak carelessly to your children. Another one here, paragraph titled, Watch Tone of Voice as Well as the Words. Quote, let not one word of fretfulness, harshness, or passion escape your lips. The grace of Christ awaits your demand. His Spirit will take control of your heart and conscience, presiding over your words and deeds. End quote. That's found on page 219. Parents, every time you lose self-control and speak and act impatiently, you sin against God. The recording angel writes every impatient, unguarded word spoken before them, carelessly or in jest. Every word that is not chaste and elevated, he marks as a spot against your Christian character. Speak kindly to your children. Remember how sensitive you are, how little you can bear to be blamed. And do not lay upon them that which you cannot bear, for they are weaker than you and cannot endure as much. The fruits of self-control, thoughtfulness and painstaking effort on your part will be 100-fold. Let your pleasant, cheerful words ever be like sunbeams in your family. If parents desire their children to be right and do right, they must be right themselves, in theory and in practice. Be careful that you are not rude to your children. Require obedience and do not allow yourself to speak carelessly to your children, because your manners and your words are their lesson book. Help them gently, tenderly over this period of their life. Let the sunshine of your presence make sunshine in their hearts. These growing boys and girls feel very sensitive, and by roughness you may mar their whole life. Be careful, mothers. Never scold, for that never helps. That is found on page 216 of Child Guidance, but it's also found in Manuscript 127, 1898. One victory gained over yourself will be of great value and encouragement to your children. You may stand on vantage ground, saying, I am God's husbandry. I am God's building. I place myself under his hand to be fashioned after the divine similitude, that I may be a co-worker with God in fashioning the minds and characters of my children, so that it will be easier for them to walk in the way of the Lord. Fathers and mothers, when you can control yourselves, you will gain great victories in controlling your children. A mother who does not have perfect control of herself is unfit to have the management of children. Every time they, the parents, lose self-control and speak and act impatiently, they sin against God. Those are two smaller paragraphs from the children's reaction to impatience, again found in chapter 48 of Child Guidance. In my book, it's page 282 and 283. And here's another quote. Parents should remember that their children are intelligent beings, and they should deal with them as they themselves would like to be dealt with. That's from page 285. So, yeah, these are pretty powerful paragraphs. I'd like to know if you've ever come across these paragraphs, what you think about them. Maybe you've cross-referenced it with something else that I may not have read yet. But if you have, like, please do share how these words have impacted you, or if you're hearing them for the first time, how they impact you now, and how are things going to look in the future as you learn more about how to deal with children in terms of our attitude and behavior with them. Woo! I just know I unloaded a lot of heavy stuff right now. What I absolutely do not want ever in this podcast to do is to make you feel any kind of sense of unworthiness. I think we deal with that anyway. We're constantly being attacked by the enemy that we are unworthy and incapable of making any kind of progress in our Christian walk. I don't want to make anybody feel that way. Yes, there was a point where we were unworthy, but Christ has shown us that we are worthy in his eyes, worthy enough that he came down on earth to live a life for us, to die for us, to intercede for us, so that we can ultimately be together again in glory in heaven. And we have worth in his eyes. And I think oftentimes as we grow along in our Christian walk, there is those stumbling blocks are there that try to make us step back and try to make us feel like we can never reach a certain point. We can never get to that golden whatever spot in our Christian walk. And that's not my goal here. Absolutely not. My goal is that the takeaway from this is that maybe you didn't know any of this stuff, or maybe you have and you've forgotten it, or maybe there's something else that I'm missing that go along with these paragraphs. And I want us all to just be encouraging to one another. We're all in this together. Nobody has reached this point where they're like, I know everything. I'm going to tell all y'all how to do it. I know for a fact I'm not sitting here saying, I know everything, I don't make mistakes. I'm telling you all that you all make mistakes and you need to fix yourselves. That is not what I'm trying to do here. These words are much for me as they are for you. I'm here because I want to share this information that I'm learning with you as well. And I often make mistakes. In fact, today I've made mistakes. And I thought, how am I going to sit in here and record this when I made the same mistake that I'm reading I shouldn't be doing. But like I said before, the point is not to make you feel incompetent. The point of all of these episodes is to uplift you and to show what resources are out there, what knowledge that we have, and to all just keep going. To keep going on this road of parenthood, to keep going on this road of Christian parenthood, to keep going on this road of Adventist parenthood. And so, again, that was a little long-winded, but my point is, I am not reading these things to make anybody feel bad. I'm reading these things and sharing these things to help all of us and guide us in the right direction as we raise our children in this world in 2021. So yes, I just really want to make that clear to everybody. So that brings us to the end of children's reaction to fault finding. I know that, and you know that, if you were ever scolded or fault-finded or derided for mistakes that you've made as a child, I'm sure you've seen it resurface in your adulthood, those negative experiences. We have the divine power and God's grace and Christ's willingness to help us and his ministering angels that are there to help us to react in the way that we need to react as parents. I know that just as we experienced whatever trauma or events in our life, our children are going to experience their own. And our job is to equip ourselves to help equip them. So, what did y'all think? I hope I was clear in my points. So, if you feel like you need to add anything to the conversation, please, again, reach out to me somehow. You can leave a message here. All right, everyone. I will see you all next time. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I'll see you later. Bye.